and a good Sunday morning to you. This is Richard Kamens, and I am talking today with Jasmine Lovell Smith, who is a native of New Zealand and is coming to Middletown. My goodness, and I'm sure people out there are going, isn't New Zealand nicer than Middletown? Well, I don't know about that, but we'll find out a little bit because she's coming to school. You're going to come to Wesleyan University in the fall, but before we find out about why you're coming to Middletown to do that, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Good. You have a brand new CD. I think the release date is Tuesday the 14th of August.
That's correct.
The group is called Towering Poppies, and the CD is called Fortune Songs, and it's a beautiful, beautiful CD. This is lovely music. All originals, right?
Yes, they're all originals.
Tell us a little bit about the group that appears on this recording before we talk about your bio.
Well, Towering Poppies is a jazz quintet, and it's made up of myself on soprano saxophone, a trumpet player named Russell Moore, who's originally from New Mexico, and a pianist named Kat Torin, originally from Vancouver, a bass player called Patrick Reed, who's originally from Prince Edward Island but has lived in Toronto and Montreal, and a drummer named Kate Pittman, who's originally from Buffalo. And we're all now living in New York, most of us in Brooklyn.
Did you meet in the New York area? Isn't that how you came together?
Well, I originally met two of the members, Kat Torin and Patrick Reed, in Banff at the 2008 jazz workshop there, and we were all participants at the same time. And then it was through coincidence, really, that we all happened to find ourselves in New York around the time that I moved here in 2010, and we started playing together. Russell Moore I met originally through the Jazz Gallery, where he works, and I spent some time working and volunteering when I first came to the city. And Kate Pittman I met through mutual friends and playing sessions. So, yeah, we all came together kind of on the Brooklyn jazz scene, with the exception of Russell, who lives in Manhattan.
So of all the people in the group, you have come the longest way. You were born in New Zealand, correct?
Yep, definitely.
Well, tell us a little bit about that. Where in New Zealand were you born? How'd you get involved in music? You know, all the biographical stuff that you have to tell.
I was born in a small-ish town in New Zealand called Palmerston North, which is about an hour out of the capital city of Wellington. And I have come from a pretty musical family. My mother is classically trained as an opera singer. She, when I was about 6 years old, she actually did her master's degree in classical voice at Indiana University. So at that point, my family moved from Palmerston North to Indiana, and we lived there for 3 years. And my dad is also involved in music, but mainly as a hobby. But he's a very keen amateur singer, mostly choral music, and also he's done Bob Shop quartet music and different kind of a cappella music while I was growing up. So there's always been a lot of singing in my house. Then after we moved from Indiana, we moved back to New Zealand, but to the city of Christchurch, which is where I did most of my schooling. And I was very involved in music there. I guess I played musical instruments coming up. I started the piano around age 6 and did classical piano, and also started the violin around age 9. Always sang in choirs. Played the guitar for a while in high school, and then the saxophone was after that. So it was when I was about 14 that I finally got around to picking up the saxophone.
Did you start with a soprano, or did you play a different?
I didn't. I started with tenor saxophone, which I think was because that was what the school had available for me to rent.
Sure. Well, that makes sense.
They didn't have any altos. I'm sure they didn't have any sopranos. And I actually played only tenor in high school. I got a soprano after the end of my first year of university, but I didn't really play it very much. I sort of tinkered with it for a while, and then I focused on tenor and didn't really put the time that I needed to seriously master this. Well, I mean, not master, but get more proficient at the soprano until about 3 years ago, and that's when it became my primary focus.
It's only 3 years you've been playing it as your main instrument.
Yeah.
So when you were listening to saxophone, you went to college in New Zealand, I assume? University
I did,
in New Zealand? When you started listening to saxophones, who did you listen to?
Well, one of the first people that I was really grabbed by was Stan Getz. And I think the first Stan Getz record I heard was Jazz Samba, which is really beautiful bossa nova record. And I listened to that a lot. And my parents I don't know, were always very supportive. So my mom would buy me jazz CDs for my birthday or whatever, and I had a couple other Stan Getz albums that were big favorites. And also Sonny Rollins was an early favorite. I feel like I mostly checked out other tenor players. I listened to John Coltrane, Dexter Gordon, and then when I got to jazz school, I think it was after I had been at university, and the first year that I discovered Wayne Shorter, and he was a really big influence on me.
So is that where you decided to move to soprano when you heard Wayne? Because he's a heck of a soprano player.
He is a heck of a soprano player. You know, I it's hard to remember where I got the idea that I wanted to play soprano, but that was probably a part of it. And just realizing, you know, also from Coltrane, just realizing that it was such a common double for the tenor, and it just seemed like a good idea. But the soprano is kind of a different kettle of fish in terms of playing it. And so I think once I actually had one, I was kind of confronted by the reality that I needed to do some serious work to make it sound good and even remotely in tune. So I put it aside for a while I was still feeling a lot more focused on the tenor at that time. It's interesting because now I still have a tenor, but I'm not playing it really at all. But I have started playing a little bit of alto, so I'm still experimenting with finding my voice. But I really enjoy the higher register.
The sort of a singing register for you, for your own voice.
Yeah, I think it makes sense in that sense. It's closer to my vocal range.
So when did you relocate to the United States?
I came here in 2010. I arrived in February of 2010 with a pretty open agenda, and spent a few months traveling. And during that time, I had came up with this idea that I wanted to move to New York. And I came here initially to participate in Ralph Alessi's School for Improvisational Music, which they have a summer intensive program that happens every summer. It was for 2 weeks. And really focusing on improvised music, completely improvised music most of the time. And I didn't know too much about what it was going to be like, but actually my friend Kat from Banff had done it, and that was how I found out about it. And so I decided I would do that. And it was actually very, very inspiring and influential, and that meant that I already was coming to New York, so I decided I would just stay and see what I could figure out after that. And things worked out. I found somewhere to live, I found a job, and somehow ended up where I am now, having been here for 2 years.
Not bad. Did you have your own group when you were in New Zealand before you came here?
I've had some different projects sort of over time, but I didn't have anything there which was as developed or as ongoing as Towering Poppies now is. I had a group called the Night Dreamers, which I put together for a festival performance there, and that was like a 10-piece ensemble. So at that time, I was doing a lot more through composed and arranged composing. And those pieces had charts that were 8 pages long. And So it was kind of different from what I'm doing now with Towering Poppies and Fortune Songs, although I think you would hear similarities in the writing still. And I also had an ensemble which was called the Wintet, and it was a quartet, which was a bass clarinet player, a trombone player, myself playing tenor at that time, and then another friend on clarinet and soprano sax. And we played improvising wind quartet pieces.
That's an interesting combination of sounds.
It was neat.
Low.
I'd still like to develop that music some more. I have some ideas about bringing it back with some people over here.
Well, that would be fun. But I just want to remind listeners and those people who discover this on my blog that we are talking today with This is the Imperial We. I am talking today with Jasmine Lovell-Smith. Her brand new CD with her group Towering Poppies is called Fortune Songs. It's on the Paint Box Records label. It comes out August 14th, and I recommend that you listen to it because you'll find it goes in lots of directions, and it's not hard on the ears the same time it does that. So you're coming to Middletown, Connecticut, lovely Middletown and Wesleyan University. What made you decide to do that?
Well, I started hearing whispers about Wesleyan University really as soon as I moved to New York, because there are a lot of interesting people on the New York jazz scene who are alumni of Wesleyan University. And I had had it in my mind for a while I would be interested in going to graduate school in the U.S. to study composition. And I think the first alumnus that I met was Matt Bowder, who mm-hmm. is a saxophone player and composer who did his master's degree at Middletown. And I actually met him on the subway one day and got to talking about that. And then I also remember hearing that Taishwan Sori was an alumnus of Middletown, and somehow these facts kind of conglomerated in my mind, and I started researching the program. And so by the time I got around to applying for schools, I was very interested in that program and feel very fortunate to have been accepted. I'm really excited about the faculty, and just having a change of scene, being in that academic environment and being a little bit removed from the hustle and bustle of the city.
Well, it is a lot different than the city, I'll give you that, but the campus is a very busy campus. There's lots of things going on. And actually, even Middletown, although compared to New York or Brooklyn, it won't feel that way. Middletown can be a pretty busy area. But this sounds like I'm a tour guide. but anyway, so you'll be starting, it's a master's program?
Master of Arts in Composition.
All right. And you'll be studying with Mr. Braxton and a number of other people, and maybe even get to play with him, too.
That's correct. And it looks like there's a great faculty at Wesleyan, and like the program is very open for me to take my time to figure out who I want to work with and what I want to be doing, and then have a lot of choice about that. So that's exciting.
So what does that do for someone who's got a working band? I assume Towering Poppies is your working band.
It is my working band. I guess I'm planning to still, I mean, I'm actively composing for that band now and planning to keep doing that, but I'm really excited to have a little bit more time and space to focus on composing for other types of ensembles and hopefully writing for a bigger ensemble again. And I'm just excited about getting more theoretical and conceptual input so that I can just try a lot of different compositional approaches and be really experimental. And I've heard that that's really the strength of the program at Wesleyan. It really encourages people to be experimental.
Oh, yes, absolutely
true. I'm excited about that.
Oh, yeah. And as you said, it's really an amazing, amazing faculty. I've known Jay Hogard as the vibraphonist. He's been here a long time. My friend Taylor Holbein, and Andy teaches trumpet here, and he lives in the New Haven area. So you're right, and there's just tons of, it's amazing. Of course, I've lived in Middletown all my life, lived near Wesleyan when I was growing up, and so I just, I've met a lot of people who've gone through the program there. So, and it's just, and it is, you're right, an amazing program. And once upon a time, they used to have a, I don't want to call it a nightclub, but a performance space on campus. And there would be live concerts almost every week.
Wow.
I'm not so sure that happens anymore, because I always was the oldest person there. Even when I wasn't that old, I was the oldest person there. But my wife worked on campus, so she got a lot of the campus events that were going on. So, but it's a great little university. So will you be living in town as well, in Middletown?
I will be. I'll be living on campus in graduate housing.
Oh, good.
So, I'll be there all the time, pretty much. I will be traveling. I'm still planning to keep my band in New York going and hopefully do some touring kind of in the Northeast, hopefully bring them to Connecticut to play, but I'll definitely be going back to New York to play with them as well from time to time.
Good. So the music on the new CD, which we should talk about because it's coming out, you wrote for this particular band, or were they pieces that you had around for a while?
They're all of the pieces on the CD except one. I wrote since moving to New York, and I wrote them basically to play with that band, or I kind of brought them in to sessions that I was playing initially just with Kat and Pat, and then by the end I was writing music specifically for that exact ensemble. The last track on the album, which is called When the Tide is Right, that's an older piece that I wrote in New Zealand, I guess probably about 3 years ago, but all of the others are pretty recent.
And you had the opportunity to workshop them around the city, or not the city, but on gigs and stuff, so it wasn't like the first time they heard it was in the studio.
Right, yep, we were playing them at shows and sessions and rehearsals, and so we just kind of gradually accumulated a repertoire, and then I knew that I wanted to do a recording, and by the time I was ready to do the recording, I had enough material, so it all kind of came together in a very nice, natural feeling way.
What's interesting about this band is that it's a quintet with three women, which is different for, at least, you know, in my mind at the moment, which is, as I said earlier, kind of scrambled. But I don't know of many groups that have that makeup anymore.
Yeah, I can't really think of any offhand either. And I really enjoy that about the band. I enjoy having a strong female presence in the band. I do feel like everybody in the band is a really amazing musician, and it wasn't really a strategy based on gender, but more just about the musicians. But Kat, the pianist, is a very close friend of mine, and actually everyone by now in the band is a close friend. But I think that there's a really nice dynamic, and part of the nice dynamic of the band is the strong female energy in the band.
Hmm. Well, and the other thing is, to be quite honest, I don't know anybody who could tell by listening to a recording, unless it's a female vocalist, whether it's a man or a woman playing the instrument. Mm-hmm. I mean, I suppose there may be, I knew somebody once who said, oh, I can always tell. But, you know, in my many years of listening to music, I could not tell. It's just, I mean, good music. Yeah, good music is good music. You don't listen, oh, that's a woman. No wonder they can't hit low notes. Yeah,
definitely not.
Every once in a while, you get a CD that just stands out because it doesn't sound like the multitude of CDs that come in through the door. Mm-hmm. And so I congratulate you on that. And then, you know, will there be a CD release party coming up soon?
We are celebrating with our official CD release in September. So I'll be going back to New York for that. And that's taking place at Corso as part of a series there called Conceptions, which is every Tuesday night, and it's run by a great pianist called James Carney.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be performing there on September 18th.
Very nice. Okay, I will make sure to, when I put this on my blog, put the date on as well so that people know that, and I'll mention it again when I put the interview on the air. So
I've been
talking today with Jasmine Lovell Smith. She is the leader of the group called Towering Poppies. Where's the name come from?
The name is referencing a phenomenon in New Zealand called tall poppy syndrome, which is a cultural
it just sounds
a
like a disease
phenomenon,
right?
Which I'm sorry,
it sounds like, you know, an illness. Well, I suffer from tall poppy disease.
Well, it is a little bit of an illness.
Oh, all right.
Cultural illness. Well, it's New Zealand is, we are kind of a modest people, I suppose, and tall poppy syndrome gets talked about a lot as New Zealanders not liking other people to be overtly successful or talk about their success. So it's kind of like any tall poppy in the field that rises above the other poppies gets kind of cut down. So it's not really a culture where it's really okay to be obviously successful or to talk about yourself a lot. And I guess I was just thinking about that, and I mean, it's one thing that's interesting about being in America. In some ways, I feel like it's kind of culturally freeing in that it's a little bit more okay to just do your own thing and be proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the idea behind the name of the band.
Okay. Well, it's a lovely cover, by the way, too. The artwork on the CD is really quite lovely.
Thank you.
And again, it's on Paintbox Records. It's called Fortune Songs, Jasmine Lovell Smith's Towering Poppies. And maybe if we're lucky, we'll get Jasmine to come in the studio someday with her soprano saxophone. And
that would be great.
We really like that. And I thank you very much for taking time from your busy day on one of my crazy days to talk with us.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Richard. I really appreciate it.